So a bit today about Prabhupada engaging his disciples in writing. Because the first half of this seminar is about Prabhupada's writing, and then about the editing. And of course, Prabhupada was also extending his writing through his disciples. And one of the first things that Prabhupada did was re-establish his production of Bhakti Godhead. When he had started writing the Bhagavatam in 1960, then he stopped his work on the Bhakti Godhead so that he could concentrate on books. But he wasn't really, he wasn't giving up on Bhakti Godhead, but he wanted to continue on with that. But he had, he didn't have the time to be able to do all those things at once. You know, Bhakti Godhead was a tremendous effort for Srila Prabhupada to do the whole thing by himself. He was writing it, editing it, doing the layout work, organizing the printing, buying the paper, trying to raise funds, you know, to get it out, and then going out, you know, on the streets of Delhi and selling it. So it was extremely difficult. And, you know, he had a couple of years where he got like 11 issues, 1959, I think he got 12 issues out like that. But then he dropped it because he had to do the Bhagavatam. So one of the first things that he did when he came to the West, as soon as he got a few young men attracted, then he revived his Bhakti Godhead and he handed it to them. So just on the Bhakti Godhead, when we were in Hawaii in 1976 in May, and this was on the 15th of May, Prabhupada made a comment about the, you know, famous masthead and motto of Bhakti Godhead. So in his class, Prabhupada was saying, as soon as one comes to this conclusion that Krishna is mine and I am Krishna's, so by this consciousness, automatically, all the reaction of sinful life becomes washed. When there is a fog, you try so many ways, but it cannot go. Then somehow or another, if the sun rises, immediately finished, immediately clear. So that is our motto on the Back to Godhead magazine. Godhead is light and nations is darkness. Where there is Godhead, there is no jurisdiction of darkness. So Prabhupada probably got that from the Krishna Surya Samamayahaya Andhaka, that verse. And again, in August of 76, when we were in New Mayapur, Prabhupada was meeting with Yogeshwara Prabhu. And he was in charge at that time of our French publications. So he had a question about this motto. So he asked Prabhupada, he said, on the front of Bhakti Godhead magazine in the English edition and other language editions, they have kept that phrase, Godhead is light, darkness is nations. Where there is Godhead, there is no nations. Now in French, it is difficult to translate that. There's no word for Godhead. And if you say God is light, in French it sounds very impersonalist. In French, Dieu est lumière, God is light. But many groups say like that. We use the word Godhead, and that distinguishes us from other groups. Now, is this phrase very important? Do you want us to keep it on the front of the magazine? Prabhupada nodded. There is a little difference between God and Godhead. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Ishvara, more or less everyone, but Ishvara Parama, that is Godhead. The Mayavadis, they don't distinguish between one Ishvara and another Ishvara. That may be on the ordinary level, but then there is Parameshwara. So then Yogeshwara suggested an alternative. One possibility would be to say God, the Supreme Person, is light. That we can translate. God means Supreme Person, Prabhupada agreed. But these Advaitavadi, Mayavadi, they have made God everyone. God means Supreme Person. That is the dictionary word, Supreme Being. God does not mean ordinary, but they have made ordinary anyone God. I am God, you are God, he is God. Then what is the meaning of God? Therefore we say Godhead, Yogeshwara said. Yes, head man. There are many men, he is the head man. Prabhupada added that the word Godhead is found in the dictionary. You just find out? Yogeshwara looked in the dictionary and read out the vague definition. Godhead, being God or a God, divine nature, deity, the Godhead, God. They do not know what is God and what is Godhead, Prabhupada said. They all think these are fictitious. Throughout the whole world, they do not know what is God. Simply they know the word, that's all. And what it means, they do not know. So that we are giving. Here is God, Godhead. Nobody knows. Nobody cares to know. So that is nations. They think it is an idea, that's all. Actually, there is God. There is the kingdom of God. One can go and speak with him and dance with him. But they cannot believe that these are... It is beyond their poor fund of knowledge. Therefore, they do not accept that Krishna is God. God is the supreme person, the supreme being. Actually, there is a place where God lives, but they don't know. This is the first time, this Krishna consciousness movement, that we are giving all these ideas. Otherwise, who knows it? Nobody knows it. And religion means to accept God as the supreme person. They don't know God, then what is the meaning of religion? Religion means to accept the supreme person as the supreme controller. That is religion. How the supreme person is working in manufacturing this flower, let the scientists explain. There is no brain, just nicely painted, symmetrically, each flower of the same class, another class, another class, another class. So that was Prabhupada's expounding a little bit on the back to Godhead, masthead, Godhead, yes, head man. Nice. So, anyway, so one of the first things, as I said, Prabhupada did when he started ISKCON, he immediately engaged his new disciples in writing, keeping them busy producing Back to Godhead, as he had first started. So his first publication attempt was Back to Godhead, and his disciples' first publication attempt was Back to Godhead. So, you know, they got these mimeographs, and Prabhupada was in Hyderabad on August 21st, 1976, and he was recalling with Garga Muni how they had begun this work. So Prabhupada recalled with a smile how Garga Muni had obtained the mimeographs in New York to begin printing the first editions of Back to Godhead for his newly formed ISKCON. The first machine introduced by you, yes. Then other machines came. I did not know, but I was thinking that if some typist would hear my tapes and type, I was thinking like that, some expert typist. So here, tape recorder, you hear something and then type, like that. And this machine, automatically you hear and type. So this is the advancement on that idea, this dictaphone. So nowadays everybody is using. The doctors dictate the prescription. The doctor, instead of sending a note, then he dictates for such and such a patient. He should receive like this, he should receive like that. That is recorded, another, and then immediately taken, and the compounder hears, and no writing, just hearing. Prabhupada's comment affirmed once again that he was a forward thinker, adaptable and able to use anything in Krishna's service for spreading Lord Chaitanya's movement. The Prabhupada got a tape recorder practically just, you know, within a few months of arriving in New York, and he immediately saw the possibility. I'll just, instead of having to type everything out, I'll just talk it, and if there's some expert typist, which he didn't have at that time, but he was thinking, if I get an expert typist, they can sit in here and type it out, that will make it quicker, like that. And Garga Muni was the one who actually found these mimeograph machines and went out and purchased them.
He did the typing
also? No, Hayagriva, and they were all expert typists. So they began, you know, when he began editing Prabhupada's manuscripts, he describes how, you know, he saw Prabhupada typing one day and he offered, you know, he said, I teach English, maybe there's something I can do to help. Do you have some work for me? And Prabhupada said yes. And then he opened up his, you know, locker, and he had thousands of pages of typed, you know, Bhagavatam commentary. And You know, he handed them to Hayagriva, and Hayagriva immediately sat down and began typing them out and correcting them. You know, so that, you know, that was how they started. And then Prabhupada got this idea that if they could make their own back to Godheads, and Gargamuni was the one that located these mimeograph machines, they were on sale. And from that, then they were able to produce 400 or 500 magazines at a time. And they would have like a production line for collating all the pages. And so that, you know, that was how Prabhupada immediately engaged them. Raya Rama, he had worked on magazines before he became a devotee. Hayagriva was an English editor. So they were given the, you know, the charge for that. Raya Rama did it for about 3 years. And he was very good, actually, very competent. Later on, he left. But so, more on Back to Godhead. March 11th, 1976, Jagannath Sutadas, production manager of Back to Godhead, taped a lengthy interview between Rabindra Swarup Das and Srila Prabhupada. It's for a special article in the upcoming bicentennial anniversary of the American Declaration of Independence. The conversation naturally centered on whether the living being is actually independent or not. Prabhupada is scheduled to visit the capital, Washington, D.C., this coming July 4th. BTG will carry this article in that month's issue. So they took this interview with Prabhupada in Mayapur, and then Prabhupada went on his last world tour at the end of June, the last week of June. Then he was in New Vrindavan. And on June 25th, he received the advance copies of the July edition of Back to Godhead, which was for that American bicentennial. So the BBT has printed a record 1 million copies, and the articles are all excellent. The cover highlights the American bicentennial celebration and shows a devotee chanting in front of a large circular festoon-colored red, white, and blue. Sorry, it's chanting in front of a large circular festoon colored red, white, and blue, and bearing in its center an American flag with 1776 written in red underneath, because it was 200 years, 1776, 1976. Srila Prabhupada especially liked the editorial caption, declaring our dependence on God. So they're declaring independence. Prabhupada is very pleased with the whole magazine. The layout of the main article shows finely detailed illustrations of two coins blown up about 6 inches in diameter with the words, "In God We Trust," that can be clearly seen on them. The following pages show some beautiful shots of his divine grace taken in his room in Mayapur. The article, in interview format, focuses mainly on good government and the need for a Varnashram society. The interview was taken during the March festival in Mayapur between Prabhupada, Rabindra Swarup, and Jagannath Sutta, the chief editor of Back to Godhead. Rabindra Swarup Prabhu had prepared for the interview by researching the American Constitution and the Declaration of Independence at the U.S. Information Services Library in Calcutta. His intelligent questions regarding the current American political system had prepared the ground for some excellent responses from Srila Prabhupada. Then at about 5:30 in the afternoon, Prabhupada asked Pushtakrishna Maharaj to read out the article to him. Prabhupada had criticized the United Nations and the nationalistic mentality, suggesting a new philosophy for the whole world. "There should be one nation under God," Pushtakrishna read out, "and one world government under God as well. Everything belongs to God and we are all his sons. That philosophy is wanted." Prabhupada sat back in satisfaction at the conclusion of the article. It was a strong and direct statement on organization in human society, and it will be distributed to millions. He asked us, "You like this?" We all agreed. It was very good and right to the point. Other articles included an excellent essay that Prabhupada had seen in Hawaii entitled Simple Living and High Thinking, written by Dharma Jakshadas, which details the idea of a Varnashram society. There was a one-page commentary by Jagajivan Das entitled Then and Now, The Right to Distribute the American Dream, which examines the original purpose of the first American settlers, their pursuit of a God-conscious way of life, and a ruling of the Supreme Court from 1943 affirming the right to sell religious tracts and literature. Because that, you know, 76, we were having huge fights in the airports for the right to sell Prabhupada's books there. There was a one-page editorial under the section ISKCON News on the 10th anniversary of ISKCON, which occurs on July 6th. And there was a pictorial essay entitled Krishna Consciousness, The Spirit of 76. Prabhupada liked this heading very much. And an article entitled Curing the Crimes of a Lifetime by Bibhavati Devi Dasi, some of which Pushtakrishna also read out for Srila Prabhupada's pleasure. So Prabhupada used to always read the BTG. He would get 10 advance copies and he would look very carefully through it, and he would read, you know, any article that caught his eye by his disciples. He would read that. So on January 5th, 1976, Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and he was preaching to a man who, Mr. Reddy, I think he was the president of the Rotary Club. He'd come out and joined Prabhupada on his morning walk. And he asked Srila Prabhupada, or a companion of his, asked Srila Prabhupada how to meditate. So although most people in India are familiar with the concept of meditation, or have even practiced some form of it themselves, the actual purpose of meditation is rarely understood. The man's lack of knowledge became apparent when he explained that he thought that the goal of meditation was to make the mind silent. Prabhupada immediately corrected him, saying it is not possible to silence the mind. He recounted a recent Back to Godhead article wherein a woman disciple had analyzed the fallacy of this idea. Prabhupada had greatly enjoyed the article, in which the girl described how she had read in a book that meditation means to free the mind of all thoughts. So she considered, how can I be without thoughts? Then I will think of being without thoughts. And that is also a thought. Right? Therefore she concluded that it was bogus, and she threw the meditation book away. Prabhupada said the point is to think of God. This alone is the real goal of meditation, and there is nothing higher. So later on, of course, Prabhupada went to Los Angeles, which was, by 76, was the seat of all the BBT activities. And Back to Godhead also was being produced from there. And on June the 11th, just before Prabhupada left for Detroit, then he had a meeting with the artists. So Jadarani Dasi, another artist from BBT Art Department, were granted a special audience with Srila Prabhupada in mid-morning. They showed him the new paintings and sketches that they have done for the third part of the seventh canto, due to be published soon. Prabhupada gave his approvals and advice, carefully looking over each one. During the meeting, he made a special request of Jadarani. There was a photograph of him published in the recent Back to Godhead, issue 13.4, where he is shown leaning back on a saffron-coloured bolster, resting on his left elbow. So he's kind of leaning back like this. His right knee is up, and his right hand is resting on his foot. He has a wonderful, beaming smile on his face, and looks completely happy and satisfied. He showed it to Jadarani, and he asked her to paint it in oil. So Prabhupada himself picked this photo out and said, why don't you paint this? This is very nice. That photo was taken actually in Mauritius. There's like a little series there, and they picked that particular one out. Jadarani never did it. She forgot all about it. Even Prabhupada asked her personally to do it. Many, many years later, in maybe the late 1990s, or maybe earlier than that, I met her in the guest house in Vrindavan, and I asked her, did you ever do that portrait? She couldn't even remember which picture it was, so she just never did it. Anyway, unfortunate. Somebody else could do it. If there's any artists. So, Back to Godhead expands into foreign editions. So, February 15th, 1976, during his massage, Prabhupada got a letter from Jasamadi Nandan Das in Gujarat, Ahmedabad. He is preaching steadily, has rented a house for the next 3 months, and is beginning to make life members. However, his main focus is on publishing transcendental literature. He has plans to print the Bhagavad Gita in 3 parts, and is beginning to collect subscriptions to a monthly Gujarati edition called Bhagavad Darshan, the Indian equivalent of Back to Godhead magazine. He described a fairly elaborate idea for raising thousands of subscriptions even before the magazine comes out. Prabhupada was extremely pleased to hear about his preaching efforts. I'm very pleased with your monthly Bhagavad Darshan. This is a solid program. Please continue it steadily. Yes, I approve of your distribution ideas, namely subscriber agents, news agents. The subscription drive is a solid program. And if you regularly publish and get registered, then you can get a 1 or 2 paisa charges postal concession. Also in the future, there are many cities such as Bombay, Surat and Calcutta, which large numbers of Gujaratis, and you can arrange for getting subscriptions there. So I don't know whether he ever did that, but we read earlier about how they had gone on a Rathiatra, and he wrote, this was like in the middle of 1976, and they had printed this Bhagavad Darshan, and they were traveling on the back of a truck and simply sitting on the truck and chanting, and then selling over the side of the truck. They sold 1,500 copies of this Bhagavad Darshan in like, you know, an hour or something. They didn't even have to get off the truck. Everybody was so eager to get them. So another language was Greek. February 25th, 1976, in the mail today there was an update from Dina Dayal and his preaching in Greece. I never met Dina Dayal, but I heard recently somebody tell me that he died a year or two ago. But he had gone there on his own to Greece to preach. And so he was writing to Prabhupada. He has acquired an apartment in a good area of Athens, just near the British Embassy. Bhakti Jan and Rohini Kumar have come there to join him. They held a grand opening in an auditorium. They obtained police permission to hang a poster with Prabhupada's picture on it all around the city to advertise the opening. Over 150 people attended. Dina Dayal reported that he has begun translating prayers and articles from Back to Godhead into Greek. Then another language was Spanish. April 21st, 1976, Prabhupada got a report from the Spanish BBT, or Spanish and Portuguese section of the BBT, and they reported that they're about to send another Bhagavatam volume to the and the first of the Krishna books to the printers, and he said the Portuguese Bhagavad Gita is now being typeset and a Portuguese Back to Godhead is almost complete. So a lot of work was going on there. And then another language, of course, was Hindi. August 13th, 1976, Prabhupada had just arrived back from his world tour, and as we got into the car, then there was a life member, Kartikeya Mahadevia, he was driving, and Gopal Krishna was there, and he eagerly informed Srila Prabhupada of the progress that he was making in printing books in India. He said the translation work was going on quickly with the help of Niranjan Das, who Prabhupada had seen in England. 45,000 copies of the first Hindi Back to Godhead were almost sold out, and he was planning a second print run of 30,000. A new issue is currently in production, also with a first run of 30,000. "People can't believe it," Gopal said. "Even Hitsaran Sharma couldn't believe that we had distributed 45,000 Hindi magazines in 2 months." We are distributing millions in English, Prabhupada reminded him. Gopal was kind of bragging a little bit, you know, that he managed to organize this printing. And it was a good achievement. But typically, Prabhupada wasn't going to let him get carried away, you know, with his pride in what he was doing. So he reminded him, we're doing millions in English. So it was nice. And Spanish also. September the 20th, 1976, Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. And he got a very encouraging report from Panchadravida Swami, who was in Buenos Aires, Argentina. He said the temple president, he is the temple president there, and he has about 35 devotees under his care. He recommended 7 devotees for first initiation and 2 for second. He said, new devotees are coming all the time. Although the temple has had women devotees for some time, only one man is a grihastha, and the others are determined brahmacharis, who live and breathe sankirtan. Here the country is very bad, only because of the bad leaders. Actually, there are many cows and nice land. But because the conditions are not very conducive to nice facilities for sense gratification, practically nobody ever leaves the temple, bloops, or breaks the regulative principles. So they were having a better time in the temple. He also said they were printing the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto in 4 volumes, locally, because the economy there is so bad that the government does not allow practically any imports. In October, he said he will print 50,000 Devuelto al Supremo, the Spanish version of Back to Godhead. He chose one which features an article by Srila Prabhupada called Everything Belongs to God, because in it, he said, the rampant philosophy of communism is leveled. So he was reproducing, getting an English one and then translating it. And he got that one because it was anti-communist. So, let's see, more stuff on Back to Godhead articles, facilitating Back to Godhead articles. Prabhupada, on December 25th, 1976, he flew from Bombay up to Ahmedabad. And then we went to this town just outside of Ahmedabad called Sanand. There's about 21,000 people. And the king of Sanand had invited Prabhupada and his disciples to come and do a pandal there. So when we arrived, we drove from Ahmedabad to Sanand. And then there was a big reception for Srila Prabhupada. Some dancers were there, you know, doing the stick dance and everything. And the king was there, nice man, older man. He was about, I guessed he was about 70-ish. A little short man, big belly, big white beard, big red turban. He was like, you know, a real epitome of the, you know, the classic Indian Maharaj. Except, of course, that he had no power left, but anyway. He was there, he was nice. And then his son, the Yuvraj, then invited Prabhupada to come up, down off the stage and mount an open horse-drawn carriage that was waiting to take him on a grand reception tour through the town. The carriage had seen better days, but it was still quite stately. By this time, several thousand people had gathered, eager to greet Srila Prabhupada. Their enthusiasm and veneration surcharged the atmosphere. Hansadutta, Harikesh and I were swept up in the excitement. Harikesh rushed about snapping photos for Back to Godhead magazine. Hansadutta went off with a mridanga to join Yasamati Nandan and Hai Haya in Kirtan at the front of the procession. So that was Harikesh took a whole bunch of photos, and then somehow or another the camera was left behind in Vrindavan, and it was not discovered for, you know, quite a few years. So those photos never made it into Back to Godhead. But later on, I was able to use some of those in my book. So they're there. So later in the year, June the 11th, 1976, with Prabhupada's agreement and after conferring with Rameshwara Swami, it was decided that Palika will join our party for the rest of the American tour. Prabhupada was in LA and he was just about to leave. In order to ensure a consistently high standard of cooking for Prabhupada, and Vishakha Dasi, photographer and writer from Back to Godhead, will also accompany Srila Prabhupada on his travels. recording his tour for an eventual article in the magazine. And that actually did come out. She took heaps of photographs, and then about a month after Prabhupada left America, then that next edition of Back to Godhead had Srila Prabhupada's summer tour as the main feature article there. Another aspect of BTG was advertising. February 24th, 1976, tonight Prabhupada told Dayananda that he wants the latest reviews of his books published in a new section of BTG, as well as in the Hyderabad-based newspaper Hare Krishna Explosion. He's very enlivened by the work of the library party and the response of the scholars. He wants to take full advantage of the favorable reviews in order to increase the distribution of his books. So he told him, we're getting all these reviews now from these university professors. Now put a section in the Back to Godhead, you know, just reprinting all these things. And later on also, that was, he started up this new section of reproducing Srimad Bhagavatam in the Back to Godhead. There was like a two or four page insert in the middle of the Back to Godhead. Do they still do that?
Yeah,
they're still doing it. So then that was also started at that time. So then, of course, we mentioned about subscriptions, the idea of subscriptions. But Prabhupada was also very careful sometimes about who he gave subscriptions to. So on July 5th, 1976 in Washington, Prabhupada received a letter from Ranadeya Das at the BBT requesting confirmation that Prabhupada wanted regular copies of Back to Godhead to be sent to his godbrother Sridhar Swami in Navadvip. Prabhupada was pleased that Ranadeya had sought approval before sending it out. This is to certify that you should send the Back to Godhead magazine regularly to Sridhar Swami in Navadvip, as already requested. I am glad to see that you are now conscientiously executing your duty. Always check with me first before sending out any literature to persons who have not been specifically approved by me. And that came up because previously Prabhupada discovered there was some exchange of books that Santosh Das had arranged with one of the Goswamis in Vrindavan. He had approached this man, I just forget his name now, about getting some Goswami literatures. So the man agreed to give them to Santosh in exchange for a set of Prabhupada's books. So Santosh had asked the BBT, now send these books to this man, he's giving us, you know, these other books in exchange. And when Prabhupada found out about it, he was furious. Actually, what happened, the way that he found out about it, was that the man had written to Prabhupada, you know, explaining how this exchange had been arranged and how he wasn't getting the books because they'd not yet arrived. And then Prabhupada wrote back and said, you know, this man was not authorized to give you my books. If you want my books, you can buy them. And then he wrote to the BBT and he blasted them. You know, who has said that you can give my books out like this? He said, you don't give any of my books out without my permission. So now Ranadeya was asking, do you want him back to Godhead's subscription to go to your godbrother? And Prabhupada said, yes, that's good. So he was very careful about his dealings with these, you know, so-called scholars and, you know, Goswamis, etc. in Vrindavan, because Prabhupada knew that they were very critical sometimes of what he was doing. So why this man wanted a full set of his books, he wanted to know. Okay, so that's Back to Godhead. That's a few examples of Prabhupada engaging his disciples in writing and publications. Another aspect of writing that Prabhupada encouraged his disciples in, of course, was against material science. And Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, who at that time was Swarup Damodar Das Brahmachari, he had written this book, Scientific Basis of Krishna Consciousness. So Prabhupada was discussing, I think this was in Nellore, the discussion moved on to the topic of scientists, and Prabhupada highly praised his disciple Swarup Damodar for writing the book Scientific Basis for Krishna Consciousness. He said, Dr. Swarup Damodar, PhD, you have read that book? It is first class. The scientist, so-called scientist, unless he is insane, he cannot say that there is no God. So he has written so nicely. And that book was actually being sold at Pandals in India that Prabhupada was speaking at. And he was very happy that his disciple had written this book and that it was selling very well. And with Swarup Damodar, there was at that time some talk about him getting a university posting. He'd just completed his PhD, and then he had applied for a posting at the university in South Africa. So on June the 15th, 1976, Prabhupada was in Detroit, and he got a report from South Africa. So as far as the university posting is concerned, Prabhupada was very positive about the fact that his disciple was now on a short list. Swarup Damodar must be the best candidate, he said. Otherwise, at the University of Witwatersrand. And otherwise, he said, what will they know about it? All the other PhDs, they are simply rubber stamped. Actually, they have no knowledge. Swarup Damodar has solid knowledge. He has learned from us. Therefore, he is writing all these books. He has rejected his so-called scientific knowledge. He has completely understood that so-called scientific knowledge is bogus and it has no solid background. And now he is writing books on this. So he was very happy that he was challenging, the current scientific paradigms and presenting, making books. And one of the things that he had them write when the BI was formed, Bhaktivedanta Institute was formed, that was formalized in middle of 1976 when Prabhupada visited Washington. Then he also, one morning, he went to Baltimore. This was on July 7th. And when Prabhupada arrived in Baltimore, all the members of the BI came to see him there. So Prabhupada took his breakfast in a sparsely furnished portable cabin at the back of the temple land. And right after eating, he met with our scientists, now joined by the other founding member of their institute, Rabindra Swarup Prabhu, who is studying for his PhD in religion. The institute devotees are starting up a quarterly magazine, which Rabindra Swarup will edit, and they asked Srila Prabhupada for a suitable name for it. Prabhupada had already been carefully advising them on a logo for the institute, and he knew exactly what he wanted for the title of this magazine. Savagyanam, he quoted from Bhagavad Gita, which he translated to mean scientific knowledge. Savagyanam. Everyone was happy with it. It seemed like a perfect name. Prabhupada also agreed that the BBT could publish their journal. He was concerned about whether they would be able to do it regularly, because he said it must be scientific. They assured him that they would be able to bring it out as a quarterly, and he was satisfied with that. Rabindra Swarup Prabhu told him that it would cover a range of topics of interest for the academic community: science, philosophy, economics, and sociology. He already mentioned yesterday that they should show how the Krishna consciousness lifestyle can work economically, and he liked the idea of including sociology. He said they should show how Varnashram is a scientific system, and he focused especially on the Brahmana community. Just like here is Dr. Swarup Damodar, or you are here. So you are not scientists from the very birth, but you have been trained up how to become scientists. So similarly, the birth is there. Whatever you may be, it doesn't matter. But you have to become trained up how to become a first-class brain, and that is the Brahmana. You have to become truthful. You have to become controller of the senses. You have to become fully aware of things, of God, everything, full knowledge. And then you become brain. So these people give scientists so much importance because there is brain. So in the society, there must be brain. So without the brain, how can the society go on? So if you simply produce motor mechanics, then what will happen? So he was saying, you have to have this Brahmana community, means a brain, to guide people. A final point concerned the content of the journal and whether controversial subjects could be included and opposing responses printed along with our rebuttals. Prabhupada smiled. Yes, that is nice. That is nice. We shall invite. All right, come on. Criticize and we will defeat you, a devotee rejoined. Prabhupada said, yes, that is fighting. He had a gleam in his eye. So he's saying, yes, you can print, you know, print the opposite party's, you know, idea and then put your rebuttal and defeat them in the magazine. He encouraged them to recruit as many scholars as possible, especially in India where there are many PhDs who are also Vaishnavas. He wants them to use the magazine to challenge and defeat materialists and atheists. Prabhupada told them to try their best and Krishna will give them intelligence. He said he started the fight alone, but now Krishna has sent them to help. So then later in the same day, actually, that was in Baltimore. Then we went back by lunchtime to Washington. And then some of the Swarup Damodar and some of the others, Sataputa, they came and again they had further questions about the Institute. So the members of the Institute were present for an interview with Prabhupada, and they tarried for a few minutes afterwards to finalize a few things. Swarup Damodar indicated they would like to start out their preaching by producing their book and journal. So that will be our initial phase, he said. And our feeling is now that this institute, at the beginning, it is some sort of research institute that we are doing right now, writing something, collecting some information from other sources. So it looks to me like it is research orientated. No, Prabhupada said, one thing is that research means again that mental speculation. Prabhupada hated the word research. He said if you say research it means that you don't know and therefore you're researching. But he said we do know, so we don't need to research. Everything's already there. So when Swarup Damodar said, well, it looks like, you know, this magazine will be like a research thing, Prabhupada said no. He was doubtful. But our research is different though, Swarup Damodar said. No, people will understand that it is another type of mental speculation, Prabhupada told him. But ours is not that. We take as absolute truth. So how to convince them? Rupanuga assured him that they didn't intend to advertise themselves as a research institute. Research, Prabhupada said, means it is not known. You are trying to find out. But our, Krishna's position, is not. It is already known. Prabhupada is well aware of the power of words. His concern for conveying the proper understanding, even with a simple phrase, showed when they asked him about the title for the journal. Rupanuga had traveled back from Baltimore with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada had translated Savigyanam as in scientific knowledge. But Swarup Damodar wondered about the word in. Rupanuga asked Prabhupada, I was wondering if this sa, that means in. Prabhupada said, no, sa means with, Savigyanam. It sounded not quite right to Rupanuga, with scientific. Would it be improper to say Vigyanam only? I was thinking in terms of making the title as short as possible. But Prabhupada liked the full title. Savigyanam is more important. Vigyanam means theoretical, and Savigyanam means practical. So in parentheses, as we can write, in scientific knowledge, Swarup Damodar asked. That you can say. Or you can write spiritual science, Prabhupada suggested, but then immediately corrected himself. No, that will not ring for them. They will not understand spiritual science. So Swarup Damodar made a couple of suggestions. How about perfect science or complete science? And Prabhupada left it to them to decide the exact phrase of the translation. I don't know actually what they actually came up with there. Something. Practical science, as Prabhupada said. So again on this, Prabhupada had mentioned recruiting PhDs to help with this work and writing this Savigyanam journal. So the same day, Prabhupada had a long darshan in the afternoon. And after the darshan, this was July 7th, Prabhupada went out into the back porch for a while to take a little prasadam and milk and to relax in the cool night air. Dr. Dinesh Sharma spent a few minutes with him. He has been attending the morning Bhagavatam classes and is very enthusiastic to help with the BI. He is highly educated, holding four doctorates in chemistry, biochemistry, clinical endocrinology, and he has one as a fellow of the Royal Institute of Chemistry in London. He's like a professional scholar, you know. I mean, a student. one PhD after another. He also has a law degree and is involved with computer information and control engineering. So he told Prabhupada how he had been a hardcore Vedantist and a follower of various Mayavadi institutions. Then once, while in an ashram in Calcutta, he had cried out to God, "Please find me the path again." So he got bewildered by studying all this Mayavadi stuff, and he couldn't figure anything out. So almost immediately afterwards, he had met the ISKCON devotees, and his heart has since been changed by chanting Hare Krishna. He said that once he was meditating in Haridwar, his birthplace. "At that time, all the time, your face was appearing behind the Ganges, and it was a very strange phenomena," he told Prabhupada. He was amazed that 2 days ago, he had been meditating on 5 verses of the Bhagavad Gita, and had come to the temple to ask Srila Prabhupada to explain them. But during the course of the evening's discussion, without any prompting, Prabhupada had spoken on 4 of the 5 verses. Prabhupada was very pleased to obtain the services of such a highly qualified person. He called Swarup Damodar Prabhu in and advised him to engage Dr. Sharma as fully as possible in writing for the new journal and helping with other Bhaktivedanta Institute projects. Again, I don't know what happened to Dr. Sharma. I don't think he lasted too long, actually. But anyway, that was the idea. Engage them in writing. Prabhupada was very keen for that. So again, BTG and Science Articles, February 17th, 1976, Madhavadas, he was another PhD that had been recruited with the Michael Marchetti is now what's he had been recruited by Swarup Damodar, and he was one of the founding members of the Bhaktivedanta Institute. So during his massage today, Prabhupada heard a letter and article entitled "Matter Comes from Life," which had been written by Madhavadas, another one of our PhD scientists. The article, which will be published in Back to Godhead, establishes scientifically that matter comes from life. Madhava is confident that this point can be proven to the scientists by utilizing newfound experimental evidence, documentation, and many logical arguments. So Prabhupada was pleased about that. And then later on, there was a question that came from Rupanuga about printing scientific articles in Back to Godhead. There was some conflict that came up with the editors. So on September 23rd, 1976, Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and he received a letter from Rupanuga. So Rupanuga said that he had teamed up with Arjun Mullick, a psychologist from the University of Madras, who had met Prabhupada in July in New York. Rupanuga is also writing, and in this context he had a complaint. "I am working on one article for the journal entitled A Morphology of Consciousness. In this connection, we feel that the editorial policy of BTG is narrow-minded regarding scientific articles. Damodar Prabhu, an editor on the BTG staff, and Jaidwaita Das also agree with this opinion. A case in point is that the article recently published by the scientists in Back to Godhead was originally rejected and was later printed only because Your Divine Grace requested it. Other articles from Rabindra Swarup have been rejected, and more recently one by myself and another by Amarendra Das, the president of Gainesville, who is one of our best preachers and a graduate in journalism. The policy, according to Damodar, is for BTG to publish articles of general interest rather than those of specific interest, like more scientific or scholarly articles. In my opinion, there could be a scientific type article from different fields in every issue of BTG, because many readers of BTG are intelligent. Of course, the most scientific or scholarly articles or more technical articles can be for the journal, but others who are qualified should have a chance to publish in BTG. I know, for example, that Amarendra worked on his article for months, and he received a letter in reply that he should read a book on writing style. He was a trained journalist. Anyway, I'm bringing this to your attention because it has become a familiar observation by the more senior members of our society. Prabhupada heard the report with interest. He was concerned about Rupanuga's dissatisfaction with BTG, especially in view of the recent complaint by Sumati Mararaji. He wrote back, "Regarding the editorial policy of BTG, if the editorial board is not expert enough, they should be changed." Dr. Obiel Kapoor also put in a similar complaint. "Yes, scientific articles must be published when sent by our men. I cannot see every article, but some of you should examine why nice articles are rejected. See if the board can be changed. If experienced editors are not there, then it will be an unpopular magazine. These things are to be seen to immediately by the GBC. The board should be judged immediately and changed if required." So, and it was changed actually eventually. How long do we go for?
8:30.
All right, a few more minutes. So, again, on scientific writing.
Did it take a long time before they changed the editorial or editors or the policy?
No, it changed at the Mayapur Festival in 1977. Hmm. It became controversial because they had adopted some ideas for, you know, they were trying to reach more of the general public, and they were kind of trying to water down the content somewhat. You know, it was a preaching strategy. They wanted to stop using Sanskrit names, and there was one edition that came out. There was an article by Rupanuga about living off the land, simple living, high thinking, and it didn't mention Krishna in the whole article. And practically in the whole magazine they didn't mention Krishna, except there was one section on chanting, and even that they put some mundane, you know, benefits.
You were explaining that.
Yeah, okay. So then when that was discussed, Prabhupada's decision, that resulted in a complete change in the board. Sathsarup was put back in charge of it immediately, and then he took it back to the old. Anyway, so February 11th, 1976, Swarup Damodar sent a letter from America. He's unable to leave for at least 6 months due to a pending immigration visa application. So they were supposed to go, he was going to come to India and take Prabhupada to Manipur. And that was going to happen straight after the Mayapur festival. But then he wrote and said that now I have to stay in America for 6 months because he was trying to get his permanent immigration. So he will not be able to attend the programs planned for early April in Mayapur, his home state. He is busy setting up the Bhaktivedanta Institute for preaching in the scientific field in colleges and universities. He, Rupanuga, Madhava, Sadaputa, Ravinder Swarup and Shubhananda Prabhus are the core members. He wanted to know if he could start up a Sankirtan party to fund a proposed college lecture program in the fall. Prabhupada discussed the idea with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who suggested that since his Radha Damodar traveling Sankirtan party is already collecting and he has a very solid university program, the institute members could travel on their buses. This would solve their funding problems and guarantee many opportunities for the type of preaching that they want to do. Prabhupada liked the idea. He wrote back suggesting Swarup Damodar accept that offer. Swarup Damodar had also suggested that the candidates for the titles of Bhaktivedanta and Bhakti Sarvabhauma could submit a thesis on a Vaishnava topic. Some of these scholarly essays could then be published into small books. So Prabhupada had just sent out a letter the month before saying, now I want to start this system of having, you know, degrees, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Bhai Bhava, Bhakti Savabhama, Bhakti Vedanta, like that. So this was Swarup Damodar's response, that we could make it along scholarly lines like they do in the universities, and to get the highest degrees of Bhakti Vedanta and Bhakti Savabhama, then they could submit a thesis, and that could be checked, and then a title awarded. So Prabhupada liked the idea, and he told him, regarding publishing books, these books can be published by you and men in your rank. Ordinary men cannot write such books. So therefore, if a book is written by one man with Bhaktivedanta or Bhaktisarvabhauma, and it is of high quality, then it may be considered by me for publishing. So Prabhupada was prepared to use the BBT to publish works by some of his disciples if they were up to a sufficient standard. So that's a bit about scientific preaching. And there was actually one comment, I don't know whether I've included it here. There was a morning walk in December of 70. Is it December? No, it might have been later in 76 when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. And Alanath was there. And he was telling Prabhupada how in Sweden they were intending to produce a magazine against material science, because Prabhupada had been preaching against material science. So then he chipped in that, you know, we're going to bring a magazine out specifically aimed at defeating material science. And then Prabhupada told him, he said, no, you cannot do it unless you're expert. He said, I can challenge them because I am confident that I can defeat all their arguments. But he said, unless you are expert, he said, then it will look foolish. So he warned him, don't just do this unless you're actually, you know, qualified to defeat the scientists, you know, with their own methodology and language, etc. So it's 8:30. I guess you have to go to work, huh?
I do, yeah. Yeah. Just a little question for work on this. I remember reading somewhere, I'm not sure if it was a letter or a conversation, where Prabhupada was explaining that actually the devotees should fund the Bhaktivedanta Institute with, I think it was, several thousand dollars per month, and saying that actually this is our most important preaching.
Yeah, as you see, Panchatat Wikijai.
Yes.
Yes, in 77, Prabhupada told the BBT to pay $10,000 a month so that Swarup Damodar and the other BI members could do their preaching work. He regarded it as very, very important. I mean, to provide that level of funding, you know, was a huge amount of money, $10,000 a month at that time. And they started off doing that. The problem was that the BI men all started falling out. And within about 2 or 3 years, the whole thing had fallen apart. Less than that, within 1 year, actually, after Prabhupada's disappearance. By 1979-1980, several of them had split up from the BI, and the whole thing became a huge mess. But the BBT did keep on funding it, and still they're providing funds even now. It was suspended for some time, and then it was reinstated. But there are, you know, there's several different scientific preaching entities now, because Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj is continuing with his thing, but he's alone. Then Rasaraj, now he's split off, he's doing his own thing. And then Sataputaran, he had left, you know, the BI years ago, he had his own approach to it. And then Drudakama Prabhu, he's got also his preaching. So now they're kind of, or they have been allocating funds for 2 or 3 different aspects of scientific preaching. And that's become, unfortunately, another big fight they just had this year in Mayapur. So they're still trying to sort that one out, who's supposed to get the funding. But the point is that Prabhupada wanted the funding to go into scientific preaching. And I don't think that he intended it to be, monopolized just by one man. It's unfortunate that they haven't been able to agree with each other. And I think that Prabhupada would be quite disappointed in that respect, that they were not able to keep this BI program unified. On the other hand, there is some good preaching that is going on. I really personally like what Drudakama Prabhu is doing with Forbidden Archaeology, and now his new book, Devolution of of Mankind. And he's really going out and challenging. He's doing what Prabhupada said to do, which is to go out, meet the scientists on their own grounds, and challenge them, And that's what Forbidden Archaeology does. It really fronts up that, what you're saying is wrong, and here's evidence to support that. And it's having a lot of impact, So there are different approaches that have been taken. The planetarium, which we have yet to materialize, is another challenge to material science. The biggest temple in ISKCON, Prabhupada said, had to be a Vedic planetarium, because the biggest enemy of God consciousness is material science. So Lord Chaitanya's movement, right there in Mayapur, we're building a 350 feet high planetarium based on the Bhagavatam. So why would Prabhupada do that? Because, defeating material science is the key to establishing Krishna consciousness. So maybe they're not putting so much money into that right now, but when this temple gets built in Mayapur, and it will be built, there'll be millions and millions of dollars going into that presentation, the planetarium, and then scientific presentations and theaters and exhibitions, just so that people can come there and they can understand, the world view as given by the Bhagavatam, rather than the materialistic worldview given by the scientists. And they have so many things, natural history museums. They're like citadels, in every city, the bastions of modern education and modern civilization. It's all these natural history museums where they show evolution, and they present it all as fact.
It's all the foundation, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the very foundation of modern civilization. So Prabhupada wants at least one place where we can challenge all of that, and where scientists will be forced to come from all over the world and study what we're presenting in that Vedic planetarium, and study the Bhagavatam as an alternative worldview. So it's a big scheme, and that we have yet to realize, but it's coming. Any other questions?
Who operates under BI right now?
I'm saying that's a big dispute right now. Who actually is the BI? There are different claims. Yeah. I'm not going to mention names right now because it's too contentious. But there's some arguments going on at the moment. But as I say, at least my own personal appreciation, I very much like what Drudakama Prabhu is doing, because he's out there challenging. The others are not so much. Sataputra has his own program. He's writing books, which is excellent. And he's taken a new tack, actually. His latest book was called Maya, and he's using the virtual reality model to explain the workings of the universe. So he's providing a theoretical framework as an alternative. He's saying that his virtual reality model better explains, the construction of the universe and the phenomena that's in the universe than, the modern chemical evolution model. Whereas Drudakama's approach is much more practical. They've taken actual artifacts and bones and what have you, and they presented that these things have been missed out because they don't fit with the evolutionary paradigm, but they are actually existing, so you have to factor them in. And if you do that, then you are forced to revise the entire understanding, you know, of how life came about and what the time frame is. So, you know, he's much more confrontational with his approach. And it is working. It's attracting a lot of people. And right, I just saw him in Los Angeles. He's now working on a follow-up to Forbidden Archaeology. They have more evidence, again, drawn from original scientific investigations by scientists. They just have more material, and he's just making up another volume to go along with that. So he's just trying to, by sheer weight of evidence, he's throwing it back at them. And, you know, that's very good. I like that approach, because that approach is the approach that Prabhupada recommended. Travel all over the world and challenge them. Yeah. He told them, there's that Bengali saying, I take your shill and dutt, is it? I take your mortar and pestle and I break your teeth. Oh. What is the Bengali for that?
Tori nora, tori pata, tori pata, tori nora, tori bhava dhatra gura.
Yeah, something about the breaking the teeth with the mortar and pestle. So I take your own equipment and I smash your teeth with it. That's,
I think you also gave the expression, which is very popular in Bengal, that you fry a fish in his own oil.
Well, that's a little different. He used that not for this kind of preaching. I mean, he used that for starting up projects. You give a little something to start with, but then it has to fry in its own oil. In other words, the project itself has to become self-sufficient. But in regard to scientific preaching, Prabhupada gave this phrase in a letter to Sariputta. I take your mortar and pestle and I break your teeth. So he said, you use all the scientific jargon and methodology, but use it to defeat them. Hare Krishna.
Very nice.
The question back to Godhead. It appears that Prabhupada kept the management of Bhakti Godhead very close to the GBC and the ISKCON.
Yeah.
Rather than, he gave a lot of delegation as well. But right now it almost appears that Bhakti Godhead just kind of happens incidentally rather than.
No, it's still under the control of the BBT. It doesn't operate directly under the BBT. Well, it does. It operates under the BBT trustees.
Yeah.
But it has its own management for obvious reasons. So what time are you going to pick me up today?
Can I give you a call a bit later?
Okay. What time do you expect to pick me up?
I expect to pick you up about 4:30.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll be ready. Hare Krishna.
Hare
Bol.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Jai.
It's a BBT.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's not a publication that would necessarily, as in some of the examples, go to the GBC for kind of ratification of things.
No, it's the editors are experienced enough to know what goes in, so it's not, there's no oversight, if that's what you're asking. Nagaraj Prabhu is the editor-in-chief, and whatever he decides, that's what goes in. If there was something controversial and devotees didn't like it or something, then naturally that would go up to the BBT trustees for a decision. The BBT operates separately from the GBC, and there is a BBT GBC committee, which is a liaison committee, but the BBT is considered to be a separate entity from the GBC and from ISKCON. Yeah, but it's integral, its existence is integral to ISKCON's. So it's linked, but legally it's separate, and operationally it's separate. The GBC, although if the GBC met and demanded, you know, that the BBT trustees do a certain thing, the trustees would be very hard pressed to refuse that. Technically, they might be able to refuse it, but they would be very hard pressed. Yes. Because Prabhupada wanted the BBT to be legally separate from ISKCON. Mm-hmm. So that if there were any problems with ISKCON, his book publication would still go on. But of course, BBT depends on ISKCON temples for the distribution of Prabhupada's books. If there's no distribution, then there's no publication. Mm-hmm. So, like I say, it's integral, but it's separate also. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? All right, we'll finish there. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.